of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, and supporters of the station we're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. But we're hoping we're going to have our regularly scheduled guest on this evening. But if he's not here, of course, we'll ask you to give us a call. But I thought we'd start out this evening talking about what's happening as far as Israel is concerned. And as you know, in the South, why Israel is fighting Hamas. But if you go into the background of where did Hamas come from, it was formed by the CIA and by Israel many years ago, supposedly, because it was more of an internationalist organization, and they thought that they might be able to use that against the PLO. And then, of course, in the north, they're fighting against Hezbollah. And Hezbollah, of course, is really an extension of Iran. And Iran has certainly been under a certain amount of pressure recently to sign some sort of an agreement that they would not enrich uranium. Now, why we're so worried about Iran enriching uranium when, of course, Pakistan, just to the south, has nuclear weapons, and India has violated all of their agreements, and they now have nuclear weapons, and China to the east has nuclear weapons, and Russia to the north has nuclear weapons, but somehow, why we can't allow Iran to get nuclear weapons, because they're an irresponsible government, but everybody has forgotten how the Iranian government came to power. And all we need to do is remember 1953. The Iranians had actually elected a democratically elected government under a gentleman named Mossadegh, Premier Mossadegh. And the CIA moved into Iran and hired people to carry out demonstrations and bought off people in the military and staged a coup and deposed Mossadegh and brought the Shah of Iran to power. You see, we didn't want a democratically elected government. We didn't want stability. We brought the Shah to power. And the Shah then remained in power until 1979, when once again the CIA intervened and toppled the Shah of Iran and brought the Ayatollah Khomeini to power. And in 1979, I can remember thinking, why would we topple the Shah of Iran? I mean, he's a friend of the West. Yes, he may be a despot. Yes, his police may be overly zealous and mistreating people, and there may be a lot of injustice in the country, but the Shah was certainly an enlightened despot in many ways, and he was helping the people, and there's a growing middle class, and yet we toppled the Shah of Iran, who was America's friend, had the sixth largest army in the world, was the bulwark in the Middle East against the spread of communism. Of course, in those days, I didn't understand the close working relationship between communism and the West, and how we had been financing communism since its inception, and we really weren't worried about the excesses of communism. It was such a convenient means of controlling the American people. But, you know, certainly nothing really made much sense back in 1979. Today it makes a lot of sense. We brought the Ayatollah Khomeini to power. We are now facing a terrible war, the possibility of a terrible war in the Middle East, and everything that is going on today with Israel. And Israel is doing everything wrong. I mean, certainly some of their soldiers have been kidnapped. The United States abandoned 25,000 of its own men after the Second World War and 8,000 men in Korea. And nobody talked about going to war over that. And in fact, most Americans didn't even know that. But because Israel lost one man in the South and two kidnapped in the North, and suddenly they're going to flare up the whole of the Middle East in war. None of this makes sense unless there's another agenda going on. And we're going to welcome your calls at 1-800-259-5791. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and so far our guest hasn't shown up, and so it's probably going to be just you and me here. And so I'm going to suggest that if you'd like to give us a call, our number is 1-800-259-5791. Now, in response to the fact that the three Israeli soldiers had been kidnapped, Why, of course, Hamas and Hezbollah are demanding the release of hundreds and hundreds of people, Palestinians, or people from Hezbollah who've been captured. People don't remember it, but some years ago, when three Israeli soldiers were killed, and the Palestinians made off with their bodies. I've forgotten whether this was Hezbollah or whether it was the Palestinians, but be that as it may, the Israelis demanded the return of the bodies of the Israeli soldiers, because their tradition is they certainly want to give them a proper burial. And, the Palestinians held out and held out and held out. And the Israelis said, we will not negotiate, we want those bodies back. And eventually the Israelis released over 400 terrorists that they had captured in prisons. And they got back three dead bodies of Israeli soldiers and one kidnapped businessman. They released over 400 terrorists and they got back three dead bodies and one businessman. That really doesn't make sense. But so much of what goes on really doesn't make sense. Every time Israel is about to win and defeat the enemy, they pull back, or they're forced to pull back, or the United States forces them to pull back. I used to go over to Israel on a regular basis, and Israel really controlled the land all the way from the Mediterranean to the Jordan River, and both north and south from Dan to Beersheba. And a little bit by little bit, they've been systematically giving up that land. They've already given up over 95% of the land that they occupied here. And it really doesn't make any sense. Well, we're always going to give up the land so we can have peace. You give up the land and you don't get peace, and you give up more land and you don't get peace. And you have to ask yourself, why are the Israelis doing what they're doing? Why are the leaders of Israel betraying the traditions of the Israeli people? And whether you believe that they should be there or not, I happen to believe that God has put them there for a purpose. I believe that a great deal of corruption and injustice goes on in Israel, but I believe that they're there for a purpose and God intends to have them there. But why are the Israeli leaders doing what they're doing? Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I guess we're going to have open lines, because it doesn't look like we're going to have a guest this evening. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. So give us a call if you have a question or comment or something you'd like to talk about. But we're trying to explain what's going on in the Middle East, as the leaders of Israel have progressively betrayed the Israeli people, keeping them under a constant tension. There's always the threat of war. There's always the terrorist bombers. Instead of Israel going in and defeating the enemy and putting an end to all this foolishness, they never try to do that. They keep the Israeli people under constant tension until psychologically they just can't stand the emotional tension anymore, and they're willing to make any concession for peace. But every concession they make brings less and less peace. And so here we are now. Israel has been forced to give up over 95% of the land that they had. Most of their people have withdrawn from Gaza. They're beginning to pull the people out of the settlements, and everybody will be put back behind this wall there into a very small little nation. Now, recently they had released some papers of conferences that Henry Kissinger had and statements he had made back in the 1970s, first of all to the Chinese communists, at which time he told them that they could have Vietnam, just to give us an opportunity to pull out and give us a decent interval so it doesn't look too bad, and then you can have Vietnam, we don't care. And he said something very interesting about Israel, though. In the future, it's just going to be a tiny little nation out of no consequence at all. And he was telling this to the Palestinian people. These papers now have been declassified. They're up on the web. They've been reported in a number of places. And you can certainly go up and get the Henry Kissinger papers that have recently been declassified and released. And one of the major universities has gone through them. I don't know, either 12,000 or 22,000 pages of these statements and papers of Henry Kissinger. But it would appear that even back in the early 1970s, why they were moving towards where we are today. in Israel. In other words, Israel has been systematically reduced to a very, very tiny little nation of little consequence. And you have to ask yourself, why would the leaders of the United States, which is supposedly pro-Israeli, have put Israel into the position where it is today? And every time Israel, is about to defeat their enemy, as they were with the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Army, in the 1980s when Reagan was the president. And, of course, America insisted on a ceasefire, evacuated the defeated Palestinian army from Lebanon to Tunisia, and then, of course, rearmed them. Maybe we had the French rearm them, I'm not sure. But under any circumstances, we revitalized the Palestinian army, moved them back into Palestine so we could continue this whole war. This was during the Reagan administration. And the same thing has been going on time and time and time again. Every time we force the Israelis to snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory, and it doesn't make sense. Unless there is a master plan here that is being enacted, and we're moving in that direction today. Well, our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. If you'd like to give us a call, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, because it certainly doesn't look like our regularly scheduled guest is going to be here. So let's, of course, continue talking about what's going on in Israel, because time and time and time again, when Israel could have been victorious, why the United States intervened and forced Israel to snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory. And, of course, with the real help of the people who control both political parties in Israel, because both political parties are essentially controlled by the same people. Oh, they pretend that there's a difference like they do here in the United States. But there are two major parties, and they're both heading in the same direction, and that is the betrayal of the Israeli people. Just as here in the United States we have two political parties, the Republicans and the Democrats, and both parties are dedicated to globalization. Both parties are dedicated to the destruction of American sovereignty. Both parties are dedicated to this idea of destroying our economy and transferring our jobs and our factories overseas. And both sides are dedicated to this idea of the New World Order and the New World Religion. So you can go to the polls every 4 years and you vote for not the candidate of your choice, but the candidate of their choice, and they control the leaders of both political parties. And we could give you example after example of that, where Ronald Reagan was forced to take as his vice president George Herbert Walker Bush. He didn't want him. I'll never forget talking to a Colonel Sleeper many years ago, which was the American Defense Policy Institute back in Washington, D.C., and he told me that Jerry Falwell and Phyllis Schlafly and Paul Weyrich and a number of people had gone to Ronald Reagan before he received the Republican nomination in 1980. And Ronald Reagan had promised them that he would not have George Herbert Walker Bush as his vice president. Jerry Falwell had said, look, you've got a lot of great candidates. You've got Phil Crane, you've got Jack Kemp, and he named two or three other potential vice presidential nominees. He said the one that was not acceptable to any of the Christians or conservatives in this country would be George Herbert Walker Bush. And Ronald Reagan had promised all of these conservative Christians that he would not accept Bush. Well, then, of course, he spent a weekend with Henry Kissinger and Gerald Ford and came back on Monday and announced that he would put George Herbert Walker Bush in as the vice presidential nominee. And according to the story I was told by Colonel Sleeper, this group of conservative Christians went back to see Ronald Reagan, and Jerry Falwell shook his finger at Ronald Reagan and said, Governor, you lied to us. You promised you wouldn't put in George Herbert Walker Bush as your vice president. You lied to us. And Ronald Reagan looked at him and said, Jerry, I'm sorry. You don't understand. I had no choice. I had no choice, and that's really the way it was. And then, of course, it was just shortly after Ronald Reagan became the President of the United States And, of course, George Herbert Walker Bush was the Vice President of the United States. And there was an assassination attempt on Ronald Reagan, and it was a young man named Hinckley. Who was Hinckley? He happened to be the son of one of George Herbert Walker Bush's closest friends. What are the chances that would have happened just accidentally? Well, let's go ahead. We've got some callers here, and they want to change the subject. That's fine. We'll be glad to talk to them. Give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you want to talk about Israel, if you want to talk about what's coming in the Middle East, give us a call. But as we see what's going on in the Middle East today, and we see that we're having Israel bombing, the airport there, or at least attacking the airport in Beirut, and of course attacking the Hezbollah headquarters in Beirut. And you have to understand, Hezbollah is simply an extension of Iran. And the Iranian government was brought to power by the Central Intelligence Agency in 1979. And then, of course, we have the President Ahmadinejad is a very, very intelligent man. In fact, my next newsletter is going to be his letter to George W. Bush. But Ahmadinejad is not acting rationally. And faced with the possibility of either a preemptive a strike on his country by Israel or by the United States if they continue enriching uranium, why, you would think that the logical thing would be they would say, well, we'll temporarily discontinue this as long as you'll give us the enriched uranium. It could be developed over in Russia. They could develop that and then let us have it. Because all we want is for nuclear power. And then if secretly, and of course this is the way countries work, if secretly they wanted to go ahead and develop, very, very enriched uranium that could be used in their their weapons, as all the other countries have done, who have promised that they would not develop nuclear weapons and then gone ahead and done it, you would think that would be the logical thing to have done. And instead of that, they're even refusing to enter into negotiations. They said, well, we'll get around to it maybe in August or sometime like that. That is not a logical response when you've got the United States and you've got Europe and you've got China and you've got Russia all demanding that you give your response in 7 days to a very, very generous offer that was given to Iran. They would have had all sorts of concessions. They would have had all sorts of things, financial concessions, sanctions lifted, increased trade with the West. And all they had to do was promise to not enrich the uranium, or at least to guarantee that it would not be used to develop nuclear weapons. So they certainly rebuffed that offer. And if you look at it from a logical point of view, it doesn't make sense. And then, of course, why Russia and China and Europe and the United States, have gone before the United Nations to demand sanctions against Iran, which is really an act of war against Iran, and really a prelude, possibly, to an American strike or Israeli strike on Iran. Doesn't make any sense, unless, of course, what you're seeing now with Israel is simply a diversion. And so people are not so worried about the idea of Iran developing nuclear weapons. They're worried about the great diversion in the West, where certainly we see the possibility of a major war developing between Israel and Hezbollah, between Israel and Hamas. And of course, the Israelis, instead of striking simply military targets, are striking civilian targets and killing civilians. And then, of course, Hamas and Hezbollah are responding with rockets and sending them into Israeli cities. And the whole situation is heating up more and more. And it may well be that Israel, to put an end to this, because Hezbollah and Hamas are both being backed, well, Iran will have to attack Iran. Our telephone number, give us a call. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and let's go ahead, give us a call if you'd like to. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and we really didn't have anything planned this evening. We were hoping we were going to have Bob Griswold with us. I don't know where he's going, but if you understand that so much of what's going on, seems to be carrying out a master plan. Now, our good friend Dennis Cuddy has a map that was drawn up in 1950 or 1952, and it showed where the troops of the world would be stationed as we began moving towards the New World Order. Where do you think the American troops were to be stationed in the year 2000 and immediately after that? As it was planned at that time, we would be moving towards the New World Order. Why, we would have some troops stationed in the Balkans, in the area around Kosovo, where we have troops today. But our other troops would be stationed in the Middle East, in Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan, right where they are stationed today. Is there some sort of a master plan that's being enacted today? Is there some sort of a program that everything is simply staged and everything is simply following a preconceived script? And I would like to suggest that I believe that's exactly the case, whether the actors in this really understand it or not, because I believe that there are spiritual forces behind everything that's going on today. And I believe that there are those who intend to plunge us into a major war in the Middle East. And all you have to do is read the book of Ezekiel, and you'll find a great deal there about a great war that will come. This is not the Battle of Armageddon. This is not the end of time. But this is about a great war that's going to be coming. And you have to ask yourself, why did we topple Mossadegh in 53? Why did we bring the Ayatollah Khomeini to power in 79? And then, of course, why, of course, we haven't been able to establish good relationships with Iran in the subsequent years? And, of course, why we've done everything we could to force Israel back into this very, very restricted area where, of course, it's going to be so easy to actually destroy the people in Israel. And you have to understand, I really believe that the major plan here is on the part of Lucifer. He wants to kill off the Jewish people. Now, many of the Jewish people don't even believe in God. Many of them are simply secular Jews who come from, and being Jewish is sort of like belonging to a club. They're joined together by persecution throughout the world and joined together by the aspirations and the pride of having a country of their own. But nothing really, of course, as far as God is concerned. There are a few who are very, very strict in their observance of the Torah. And, of course, there's the Talmudic Jews as well, and, of course, then there are those who are into the Kabbalah, which, of course, is a Jewish mysticism. And, of course, this is part of this whole world Luciferian movement. And I'm speaking specifically of the Jewish mysticism, and we have Christian mysticism as well. And, of course, there are all of these various spiritual groups out working throughout the world today. The movement of mysticism is growing. In fact, you can go up on the web and pull down all sorts of articles on witchcraft and Satanism and certainly on theosophy. And you can even type in the occult hierarchy, and you'll get all sorts of articles there, not only my articles on the occult hierarchy, but actually articles written by people who are part of the occult hierarchy that rules the world, writing about it. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We didn't have a regularly scheduled guest, so if you'd like to give us a call, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But let me say, we hope that many of you out there are starting to make preparations, because I believe we are moving into some very, very difficult times. Now, nobody can say with certain what's going to happen in the Middle East. Maybe everything's going to quiet down. Maybe cooler heads will reign. But right now, the Israelis attacking both the Palestinians, and, of course, they're attacking into Lebanon. They're attacking the Hezbollah forces there that are shelling Israel. But the tempo of violence seems to be increasing on both sides. And it was far worse today than it was last week, and I fear that next week it'll be worse than it is today. Then what are you going to do? Well, who is really behind Hezbollah? They're being financed by Iran. Who is behind Hamas? Well, they're being financed by Saudi Arabia and other Islamic countries. How can Israel hope possibly to survive? They're going to have to hit Iran and cut off the source of funding. And, of course, after all, when you're at war, you don't want to be at war with the proxy. You want to be at war with the people who are behind the proxy, and that would be Iran. And Iran has been backing Hezbollah going all the way back to 1981, immediately after the United States brought the Ayatollah Khomeini to power. So it doesn't make sense unless you understand that all of the intelligence agencies work behind the scenes. It doesn't make sense unless you maybe understand something about history. And you have to go back to the time of the Boer War. And, of course, the Boer War, there were two sides. There was the Lord Milner, who was, of course, a disciple of Cecil Rhodes. He was the High Commissioner in Cape Town, South Africa, and he was leading the British against the Afrikaners. And the Afrikaners were led by Paul Kruger. But Paul Kruger's number two man was a man named Jan Smuts. And he was one of the most anti-British people. He was yelling and screaming at the British and how the Afrikaners had to fight to the death against them. Now, what everybody forgot to me was a Cambridge graduate who was part of Cecil Rhodes' group. He was working for the same people in Milner, where they controlled both sides in the Boer War. But the Boer War was really fought, of course, to be a long and horrible and bloody conflict. A confrontation, and it was to be the first step along the way to creating a new world order and a new world religion. The Boer War was the first war that was fought to accomplish that. This First World War was the Second War. Exactly the same thing. They were all contrived wars. And at least as far as the Boer War, there's no doubt in my mind that the number two man in the Boer movement was an agent, a secret agent of Cecil Rhodes. Because he spent all the rest of his life working to further Rhodes' goal towards the New World Order and the New World Religion. Is that where Ahmadinejad fits into this whole picture? Remember, he was involved with the students at the time of the seizure of the American embassy in Tehran back in 1979. And that was a CIA operation from the very beginning. Was he working for the CIA then? Is he working for the CIA now? Is this all being contrived by the dark, sinister forces that hope to change the world? Well, let's go to Ari, who's calling, or Ari calling from Salt Lake City. Hi, Ari. How are you doing?
Good evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. How are things back there in Salt Lake?
Very, very, very hot.
Well, I don't envy at all. I live in one of the most beautiful parts of the world. Sometime when you get out here, Ari, you have to stop by in Santa Cruz and see it.
102.
Oh, my goodness. You have our sympathy.
Well, I grew up in Escondido, and I spent a lot of time in Oceanside, so I am familiar with California.
All right, fine. Well, what are your thoughts about what's going on? Did you want to talk about something else?
No. On one hand, I am deeply, deeply fascinated by what I see happening, only in regards to biblical prophecy. With that in mind, we see biblical prophecy looks like being fulfilled very soon. And Jesus Christ returning shortly after that, and in that form, you know, it would be very fascinating. But on the other hand, I find very deeply troubling and sad.
I know it is, and of course, an awful lot of good people are going to die. An awful lot of good people are going to lose everything they have. They're going to lose their homes. They're going to be blown up. And we're moving into, I believe, some very, very difficult times.
Well, one of the things that came to my mind was this, correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember, I believe it was the first Desert Storm, shortly before they went in and invaded Iraq. American intelligence, I believe, picked up on their satellites a convoy of trucks heading over to the Syrian border. Wasn't that? I don't know if that.
No, that was after the second. That was the second Gulf War. You're talking about when they moved all of the.
I thought it was the first.
No,
but
the second Gulf War, and they moved all those weapons of mass destruction. Hold, we'll be back in just a moment.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we've got Ari calling from Salt Lake City, and he was asking about the convoy from Iraq into Syria. And basically, you know, of course, we hear about the weapons of mass destruction, and that was the reason we went into to get Saddam Hussein, and the weapons of mass destruction weren't there. Well, our government knows what happened to those weapons of mass destruction. They were sent into Syria, and probably some of them were sent into Iran. Saddam Hussein wanted to move them out of the country, so we wouldn't have any excuse to attack him. We know that, but they're concealing that from the fact the American people. What really bothers me about that is that they're both chemical and biological weapons which were built with the materials that the United States sent to Saddam Hussein all during the 1980s, and maybe even some that the weapons we actually had built and transferred to him, and they are in Syria today. And my concern is that this whole area flares up into a major war in the Middle East, that they will pull those weapons, the chemical and biological weapons, out of Syria and use them on Israel. This is what really bothers me.
Yes, that's my whole point. You see, we have these, first we saw these Qassam rockets, which have a range of, what, 6, 8, 10 miles or something? And then Israel was reporting that, wow, we even have some coming in further distance than, you know, we've ever seen before. And then we've got these, I don't know how to pronounce it, but these Russian rockets that we're sending, and they have a longer range. And so there's a lot of Israelis that are dying. And what we're going to see in the future, looks like the very near future, is they're going to be firing rockets, like you say, with chemical, biological, and perhaps nuclear rockets, miniaturized missiles.
And you see, the thing that really bothers me is right now, George Bush's popularity is really down in the tank, and I think the only group that has less support from the public is the Congress of the United States. A war is a very effective means of getting the people rallied behind the government, whether they like the government or not. Why, you know, when you're in a war, why an awful lot of people will back the government. So maybe this is going to be a great diversion to build up the president's popularity and to build up the Republican Party in preparation for the November elections. I don't know, but I believe these are very difficult times. I don't like what's happening over there, and I share your concerns.
Well, I got one more question for you. Now, you know, I am a military buff. My father spent 23 years in the Navy. He fought in the Korean and the Vietnam War, and he was fairly highly decorated. And so I do follow military stuff. It's my understanding that the Israeli military and intelligence has spiced intelligence satellites.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course we have Ari on the line from Salt Lake City. And you were saying that it's your understanding that Israel has all sorts of satellites and the ability to check on what's going on. Is that right?
Yes, and so, you know, their military and their intelligence agencies have eavesdropping, you know, spy satellites, and so you think that they know everything that's going on over there in Lebanon and Syria and everything, Iran. And so, you know, I see these the military and the government of Israel really holding back drastically.
Now, of course they are, because they're really being told pretty well. The globalists in Israel are being told what to do by the globalists in the United States. And so they're playing their part. Everybody's playing a part. The Israelis know what happened to Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction. How do I know? Because I've talked many times to Avi Lipkin, who for a long time was with the Israeli army, 30 years with the Israeli army, and he openly acknowledges that those weapons of mass destruction are in Syria. Everybody knows it. Certainly the Israelis know it. Our intelligence knows it. The only people who don't know are the American people, who are constantly kept in the dark about everything. One of these days they're going to find it. Oh, shucks, look there. That's where they are.
Yeah.
Heaven help the people, and pray for the people of in Israel and for the Palestinians, because they're all pawns in a vicious and terrible game that's being played out there.
I see. When there's a Bible prophecy, I believe it's Isaiah 17, where Damascus, the city of Damascus is completely demolished in
right,
1 hour.
Right.
And then we have, Gog and Magog, Ezekiel 38 and 39?
Well, I think that Ezekiel 38 and 39 is a pretty good place to begin. Ezekiel, especially Ezekiel 38, and I think it's 2, 3, and 4. Read those, and we'll talk later. Hey, I've got a whole board full, and we may even have our guest back.
Okay. Hey, nice talking with you.
Thanks so very much. Well,
okay,
let's
bye-bye.
See. Do we have Bob Griswold on line 3? Did we finally get hold of Bob? I'll ask Ari to tell me where we stand. We have let's go here to, and I'm asking everybody to hang on. Oh, who do we have here?
Doctor,
is this Bob?
Yes, it is.
Well, where have you been?
Well, we got caught in a traffic jam.
All right, fine. Well, it's good to have you with us. Well, I'm going to have to ask our producer then to tell Danny in West Virginia and Bill in Syracuse that we're sorry we can't take them, but our regularly scheduled guest is here, and it's good to have you with us. And, you know, especially with what's going on today, I would think that everybody in the listening audience would want to begin making preparations, because if there is a major war in the Near East, in the Middle East, there's no way that we are going to be able to avoid increasing involvement in that. And, of course, if Israel should strike at Iran, which, of course, is behind Hezbollah and is helping to finance Hamas, or we were to do that, then, of course, it would leave our soldiers in Iraq under a very real risk of attack from Iran. So, you know, you can't, you know, just attack somebody else and go to war with them without anticipating that they might attack you right back again.
Well, Doctor, you know, the fact is that our military has stretched the limit right now. We have two very hot spots on the world today that, actually there are many, but two of the ones that have been in the news recently, Korea, that just seems to be in some type of, blinking match with their missiles. And then we have, you know, Iran and Syria using a proxy army, Hezbollah, to fight the Israelis. And, you know, one thing we can sit back and say, well, this is what they should do. But, you know, during war, people, they do get hot-headed, and they make impulse decisions. And that's all it takes is the wrong person, Aminajad or, you know, Syria or Israel or the Palestinian or someone to do something really stupid. And the retaliation can be so much overwhelming that you just get locked into a cycle that you really don't break away from. And that's why I think it's possible that we're at now. Syria has just come out and said that we are going to defend Lebanon, and, you know, we're going to financially defend Hezbollah. And so I think we're seeing this develop.
Well, I think the interesting thing about that is that Iran has said that an attack on Syria, if Israel attacks Syria, why then Iran will attack Israel, because of course they have some sort of a treaty with Syria. Now, of course, Syria will defend Lebanon, and the whole thing is really heating up. People have no idea that we could be on the verge of a major conflict in the Middle East. We could be on the verge of World War III. Should this happen, there will be revolutions in Pakistan, and the radical Islamists will take over not only the country, but their missiles and nuclear weapons. There could well be a revolt in Saudi Arabia and in Morocco and Tunisia and in Turkey, where the majority the people have gone over the radical Islam, and the reason they've done that is because of their hatred of the United States, and we're doing everything we can to promote that. I mean, certainly what happened at Abu Ghraib, what happened at Guantanamo, was not logical. It was specifically designed to inflame the emotions of Muslims throughout the world. And when you understand that, everything begins to make sense. There are really people who want to precipitate a major war. The really people are want to inflame the emotions of the Muslim people throughout the world and turn them against Christianity and turn them against the United States. And certainly the way we've been acting has hardly been a good advertisement for the love and compassion and concern of Christianity. So, you know, how do you explain what's going on today? Well, if you're looking at it logically, it doesn't make sense. If you look at it as part of a much larger picture, we are trying to inflame the anger and hostility of the Muslim world, then we've accomplished it. Anyway, Bob, before we go on, I do want you to give your telephone number out. Bob is with Ready Made Foods, isn't it?
Ready-made resources.
And of course, Bob does support us and is on with us on a monthly basis. But go ahead and get your telephone number and your website out.
Well, the website's very easy to find. It's ready-made resources, all one word, standard spelling, readymaderesources.com. And then the phone number, which we're here if people have questions about a food supply, solar energy, a lot of different things that we do carry. They can call me at 800-627-3809. Again, that's 800-627-3809. You know, Doctor, what I wanted to mention is the fact how quickly this situation developed. Now, there's always a powder keg burning over there. There's a fuse smoldering. But this thing developed in a few short weeks to where, you know, it's now could become a regional conflict very quickly. And if it becomes a regional conflict, you know, China, Russia, and the United States, the superpowers, will be drawn financially into the area because of oil and other concerns, and how it could turn into a world conflict. And this is the thing I think you and I know that I have been saying for many people, that it doesn't matter, you know, how you prepare or where you prepare. There's an excellent website that I'd recommend to people to go to, is survivalblog.com. It's a good friend of mine, Jim Rawls, and he has a lot of preparedness tips on there about even doing your own long-term food storage. But we could see very quickly how oil could skyrocket to over $100 a barrel, bringing the price of gasoline to over $5 a gallon, really shutting the American economy down, making food so expensive people couldn't buy it, and the need to be ready, because nobody saw this. Nobody, a month ago, you would not have predicted that there would be a major conflict in the Middle East going on. It's always smoldering, but you would not have predicted this. It can happen so suddenly. And if oil does, you know, skyrocket to over $100 a barrel, which they're saying if Syria or Iran get into it, it could easily do, it will collapse the American economy. People will not be able to afford gas to double from its existing price today. And so we really need to think about Christian people, people who are wise, to realize how fragile the system that we've grown to enjoy really is. It's grown up on cheap oil, which is no longer cheap. It's grown up on the fact that the United States was an agricultural nation. We grew so much of our own food. That's no longer the case. There's so many different things that you could throw and say. It really behooves people to look at the situation they're in and to make proper planning. You know, the water filtration, food, the ability to make even a little bit of electricity, maybe some, you know, non-electric appliances in your home. All of those things, Doctor, you know, that we could possibly need. In fact, I was watching a program on Discovery last night, and it was an ice storm in, I think it was Toronto a year or so ago, and the power lines and everything collapsed, and those people had wood-burning stoves and had some wood. They were keeping warm, where people who had grown and didn't have anything but the mono thing of electricity were really left in the cold. And so I just, people prayerfully consider, look at the news and prayerfully consider, you know, do I need to have a food storage? Do I need to be able to purify water in the event something goes wrong? And I think anybody who's halfway prudent is going to realize, yes, we do. Again, I want to mention that website. It's a friend of mine, Jim Rawls, survivalblog.com. We advertise on there also, but he has an excellent article in there right now, Do-It-Yourself Bulk Food Storage. So, and they can visit readymaderesources.com. But, and we have information on there, how to, you know, purify water, how to distill water. Even if you have salt water, you can distill it. So, and how to do some food supplies of your own, medical things. So, that's what I want to tell people. This is just one more thing. It's not going to end. This situation might back down. It might not back down. But I think the world is escalating towards global conflict designed to kill billions of people.
And that doesn't sound very hopeful, but I really believe we're moving into some very, very difficult times. And it behooves people to make preparations for themselves and for their families. You see, the federal government has extensive plans to protect the elite and their families in case there is a national emergency. However, the average American is being left to defend for themselves. And after we saw the debacle, in New Orleans with FEMA, What did FEMA do? Why, it kept help from coming in. And they turned away the people who had the motorboats. They turned the people who had the airboats. Oh, we couldn't let you go in there. No, it's dangerous. Yeah, the people wanted to go in. They were willing to risk the danger. They wouldn't let them in. I mean, they cut off the supplies that Walmart and others were trying to send in. They cut the communications lines for the police force in Jefferson Parish to the point where the sheriffs there actually repaired them and put his officers there and said, shoot to kill if anybody from FEMA tries to cut these lines again. They were there not to solve the problem. They were there, of course, to increase the problem. And you have to say, why would they do anything that stupid? Well, of course, they could justify bringing in the United States military, which is not trained for police work. Then they could bring in the private contractors from these various Blackstone and other professional murderers, militias. These are private mercenaries. They brought them in from Iraq to patrol the streets of New Orleans, and it wasn't necessary at all. Had they allowed the people to do what they wanted to on their own, had they allowed the supplies to come in, had the FEMA not gone down there to complicate matters, it wouldn't have been the problem. And they did everything they could to block, the people locally from doing what was necessary. So there's a lot of blame to go around, but FEMA certainly could not be depended on. I've been to meetings on defense with leaders across the country, and people from Homeland Security and FEMA have said, you better make your own plans because we have no plans for you. So go ahead, Bob.
Well, I think that says it all, Doctor, is the fact that, again, just think of how rapidly this situation's escalated to where now there's a possibility of a regional war between really major powers, and that will draw, Syria and Iran and their allies, China and Russia, and Israel and its ally, United States, into an area to where, it could quickly escalate beyond that. You think one assassination started World War One. The horrible carnage that produced. People need, Christian people and people of good conscience need to prayerfully consider, what they need to do. We won't stop this from happening, Doctor. It's gonna happen. But, don't be caught in the path of the devastation it wrecks. And again, all it takes is for oil to go up to $100 a barrel, which is at 78 right now, and it could literally shut the American economy down. People are struggling at $3 a gallon gas. If it went up to $5 or higher, it would be devastating on the American economy. Food, everything, especially food, would be affected because, from the very moment you harvest the seed, it takes oil to harvest that seed, it takes harvest to plant that seed, it takes harvest to fertilize that seed.
They're talking about diesel oil to really do all of those things.
Yeah. And so everything today is affected by what comes out of the Middle East. And so don't wait. To use a parable of the Bible, there'll be foolish virgins and there'll be wise virgins. Ultimately, that's talking about our souls, but I also believe it's talking about how we approach life in a practical, biblical manner and looking at the horizon, seeing what's coming and making effective decisions, not believing what the leaders are telling us, that we can continue getting 0% interest on everything under the world, that there's never a payday, that none of the emerging diseases will ever affect us, that this war won't come home, that oil's okay and I'm okay and you're okay. That's what they keep doing to keep the thing marching on, keep people going in deeper and deeper into debt. But there is coming a day of reckoning, and when it finally gets here, Doctor, it's going to be devastating for most Americans, because most Americans live that way. They live day to day, enjoying all the, with nothing in reserve, spending everything for their pleasure. And when that happens, people are going to say, I wish somebody had told me, but...
Well, I think all we can do is hope and pray that the calmer heads will reign and there will be a ceasefire over there, but it doesn't appear that anything going on really is making any sense. If there is a major confrontation over there, do you really think that Europe is going to come to America's help? I mean, they think that we've created this whole problem on our own. They were very much against, of course, our going into Iraq and into Afghanistan. If we get into a war with Iran and Syria, how much help do you think we're going to get from other countries? I mean, 25 people from Germany and 30 people from France are maybe... 30 people from Germany and 25 people from France. We're going to be in this all by ourselves. And I don't blame the people of Iran, pardon me, of Europe, for not being wanting to be involved in this. America shouldn't be involved in this. Everything has been built upon a lie. It started on September 11th, when, of course, we know that somebody knew who was going to be on those planes that crashed into the North Tower, because somebody planted a passport for one of those people, and somebody knew who was supposed to be on the plane in Philadelphia because somebody planted their passport to convince us. And did you know that at least 6 or 7 of the so-called hijackers are alive and well in the Middle East? And the government acknowledges that, but won't change their story. How could they be alive and well and have been killed, you know, on those planes? Doesn't make sense, does it? Or maybe nothing that's going on makes any sense. Maybe what we're seeing is a gigantic stage and everybody is playing their part. The only trouble is that we're the audience and we don't understand that it is simply a stage-managed affair. We think it's real, and because, of course, real people are dying and bleeding and suffering. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up this program here with Bob Griswold here at Radio Liberty. Well, Bob, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, again, Doctor, I always like to mention a spiritual thing that people need to consider, you know, where they're at in their lives, their spiritual life, because that's ultimately the most important thing we need to examine, is, you know, what the claims that Christ made upon us, that he provides peace and truth and light to our souls. And that's the most important thing we can have. If we don't have that, then we live this life and face eternity without that. But other than that, I ask people to consider the fact that the abundance, and that we have the radical change that has happened in the last few years in this country. You know, our oil prices have gone sky high. Our army has been sent to the four corners of the world. We see our southern border being invaded by an army. We see politicians who, even though we are a republic, which is ruled by law, they do not want to obey and enforce the law. In fact, I felt like writing a letter to my congressman saying, you know, which of the laws have you selectively are not going to enforce? Are you going to enforce the bank robbery laws? Are you going to enforce the kidnapping laws? Obviously, you don't want to enforce the immigration laws. Think of how our country's changed, and think how much longer it can continue this way, us enjoying the prosperity that we've had, and make your decision based upon those things.
Well, I agree with you totally, and I believe, of course, behind everything that's going on, Bob, is this eternal spiritual battle that began in the Garden of Eden, and I believe it did begin there, and I believe we see it being played out down to the centuries, down through the millennium. But I think we live in one of the most exciting times, and certainly one of the most dangerous times in all history. And, of course, we can make all of our preparations, and we should make our preparations for ourselves and our families. But in the final analysis, as you say, why the most important thing is our personal relationship with our Lord.
That's right. Well, Doctor, I'm sorry I was late today, but, if people want to call me, I'll be in the office for quite a while tonight, 800-627-3809.
Well, of course, we're going to just wait for just one more minute, let you put that number out when all of our stations are back with us, because right now, of course, we're in a little short break, and we'll be back in just a moment, though, with Bob Griswold, and we'll let you get his number. But, ladies and gentlemen, if I could certainly prevail upon you, give serious consideration to beginning to prepare. Let's hope that this will simply be a temporary thing. Let's hope that it's simply a scheme to rally the people behind the current administration. But, of course, I see some very ominous signs the way things are going in the Middle East. I really wasn't anticipating this. But, you know, when we find that Israel is willing to go to war because 3 of their soldiers have been kidnapped, you have to ask yourself, is this the real reason, or is this simply the stage reason? We'll be right back here in a moment. Well, Bob, I want you to give your telephone number out one more time and your web page, and then we'll let you go.
Okay, well, the website is Ready Made Resources, all standard spelling, Ready Made Resources, and that is all one word, readymaderesources.com. And again, if people have questions about food supply or solar or water filtration, whatever, they can call me at 800-627-3809. I'll be in the office. Again, that's 800-627-3809. 3809.
Okay, Bob. Bye-bye. Thanks so much for being
Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. Well, that was Bob Griswold. And then, of course, we do want to mention, we do carry the Berkey water filters here. And if you buy them through us, you get a four-tape set or a video that we have produced. And we would suggest that you give serious consideration to thinking about what you would need if there was some sort of a major cataclysmic event, whether it be an earthquake, a natural disaster, or whether it be an epidemic, or whether it would be some sort of a massive terrorist attack or a nuclear attack or simply a financial collapse and the breakdown of the structure of society. None of these things are unthinkable, because we live in very uncertain times. And then, of course, harking back to those words of Thomas Jefferson, who said, God, who gave us life, gave us liberty, but can the liberty of a nation be secure when the conviction has been forgotten that liberty is the gift of God? I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and his justice cannot sleep forever. And I think we have to remember those words as we begin moving into what I believe are very, very difficult times. I believe that, of course, God judges people. I believe God judges nations. And since, you know, he cannot judge nations in an afterlife, he's going to judge them in this life. And you really like the way America's going? The fact that we are the pornography center of the world? That we have lost our moral foundation, that God and prayer and the Ten Commandments has been taken out of our schools. Do you think God is really pleased with that? I don't, and I really fear that if God is just, his justice will not sleep forever. Well, this is the time when I need to remind you, Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope many of you out there give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family, because we have a unique voice. We're heard on almost 60 outlets every week. Almost 60 outlets, and of course we have to pay for our time on literally all of them, and we need your help to continue doing what we're doing. And we're reaching people across America, people who had no idea what was going on, and suddenly they're beginning to put things into their proper perspective. Our ministry is unique because, of course, we try to bring together the historical and the geopolitical and the spiritual. And you can't understand anything going on unless you understand that there is a spiritual component, there is another dimension, and there are people who have access to that other dimension. So if you have not yet read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. If you want to understand what happened on September 11th, well, you need to get my three pamphlets. They're just a compilation of my newsletters. Each one's about 40 pages altogether. They're only, I think, $9.95 plus shipping. Call Foreknowledge 911. Foreknowledge 911 for the pamphlets. If you'd like, of course, to get some very excellent DVDs, we're carrying In Plain Sight. That's Dave Van Cleis' excellent video. The Day That Changed the World Forever by Dave Wagner, and of course that is very, very well done. They're all well done. We wouldn't put them out if they weren't. We have a four tape set called 911 Update, my interviews with Jimmy Walters, who's put out $8 million of his own money to buy full page ads in the New York Times and certainly on television, program day after day in New York City to tell people that really what was going on and what had happened on 911, and we hadn't been told the truth. And actually, well over 50% of the people in New York City know that we were lied to about what happened on 911. You need to get the book, The Terror Timeline. So that's the update, 911 update, book, The Terror Timeline, the book, The War on Freedom, the book, Cover Up or Inside Job. Cover Ups by Jim Mars. Pardon me, by Dennis Cuddy, of Inside Job by Jim Mars. And then, of course, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, to put the spiritual aspect of this into proper perspective. And we ask you, of course, to remember our number. It's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like a free newsletter, we'll send it. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers. But pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Well, this is Archer Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I want to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, but please do not call unless we ask specifically for calls. We have us on the line, Mr. Campbell, Barry G. Campbell, who works for the Veterans Administration, but he's speaking now tonight as an individual, and those of you who listen to our afternoon program with Joyce Riley will remember, of course, that we talked about Gulf War illness. We talked about how so many of the young men are coming back from the first Gulf War and now the second Gulf War with illnesses. They're being denied treatment by the Veterans Administration. What's really frightening is about 30% of the young people coming back from the second Gulf War within 3 months. Now, these are ones without battlefield injuries. These are just came back supposedly well and healthy, and within 3 months, about a third of them are developing an illness. They call it post-traumatic stress, but, let's talk to Mr. Barry Campbell. Mr. Campbell, thank you very much for being with us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Well, certainly you work, you are some sort of a veterans advocate working within the system.
Well, you could call me that. I wear many hats. I work for the Veterans Administration. I'm your Agent Orange coordinator.
All right.
And your Persian Gulf coordinator.
All right, fine. Well, now, of course, we were told for so many years that there was no Agent Orange. Agent Orange never hurt anybody. That was just a lot of foolish talk. There was no toxicity. It was perfectly safe. I mean, you could, you know, is that really true? Or did we actually harm not only ourselves, but many of the Vietnamese with Agent Orange?
With Agent Orange being the coordinator, there's many, many illnesses that come from behind this. A lot of them are not really truly recognized.
What sort of illnesses are you talking about?
Cancers, kidney problems, liver problems, diabetes, eyes, impotency. There's actually, the truth of the matter is, actually there's hundreds of illnesses that come from Agent Orange. And Agent Orange is only one of the herbicides of 15 other herbicides that they used on with veterans in Vietnam.
And, of course, is this recognized by the Veterans Administration? What are these young people are doing? How many of them have had their lives ruined because of the Agent Orange?
Well, it's so deep with the Agent Orange that sometimes it might skip you and hit your kid.
In other words, you'd have a child born with a birth
right, problem. And the problem is that most people have been suffering with a handicapped kid for 30 years and don't know that the kid is supposed to be paid, their education, their assistance to them is supposed to be paid by the government.
Well, but how can people do anything about it? In other words, who would they contact to try to, to get some compensation and help for all those handicapped children out there, a direct result of the poisoning of our servicemen by their own government?
See, this is the best thing about what I do. I help the ones America forgot, and I'm in the streets that where they need it the most at. And you can contact us at www.vqlan.org. You'll find I have 10,000 pages of information, because me being CEO and founder of Veteran Quality Life makes it my business to make sure that veterans are informed properly.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment with Barry Campbell. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Barry Campbell. And so could you give that webpage just one more time for me?
It's www.vqlan.org. VQLAN.org. O-R-G.
VQLAUN.
No, VQLAN. That stands for Veterans Quality of Life. See, the organization I run is Veteran Quality of Life Organization. It's a brand new organization. We are from the streets, and we help the veterans that need it the most because we feel that they were not informed properly. And we're making sure with the knowledge that I come from, because I've been working with the VA for about 20 years, and with the as compensation and pension coordinator. And that's where a lot of veterans have failed at, because when you get in the system, if you don't know the terminology of the VA, you might be right, and you will die being right.
Right now, of course, certainly the tragedy of Agent Orange is that they deceived the American people, and they withheld treatment for not only the veterans, but for their children all these years. Was there any effect on the wives of the veterans, who had Agent Orange, anything at all about intimate relations with the wives? Did any of the wives get sick?
A lot of them don't, but it goes to the babies.
It goes to the babies more than the Christian
wife. Yeah, more to the wife, more to the babies than the wife. I don't even know why that is. But
well, of course, the thing is that I've heard, of course, with the Gulf War illness, that many of the wives came down as well.
That's true. And that's even more, because now you're dealing with more deadly toxins or whatever they... that's a mess over there. Matter of fact...
Well, before we go on, let's just... because I want to get this. As far as the Agent Orange, what percentage of our Vietnam veterans were poisoned with the Agent Orange?
You might say 80% of all Vietnam veterans came in contact with Agent Orange and the other 15 other dioxins that they used that nobody knows about, but they're there.
Well, of course, did the government know that how toxic they were when they were using them? Do we have any idea, or was this just another mistake?
That's a fact. It's all a fact, and I don't make this up, and it's known that it was a killer. And the whole thing about this is the Persian Gulf is the next Agent Orange.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Barry G. Campbell, and we're going to be talking then about the Gulf War illness. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Mr. Barry G. Campbell, who works for the Veterans Administration, but he has his own organization for Veterans Quality of Life Organization. And basically, of course, he has a great deal of information about these. First of all, his comment was that about 80% of veterans of the Vietnam War came in contact either with Agent Orange or one of the other dioxin compounds they used, and they knew they were deadly, and they lied, and they lied, and they lied, and the Veterans Administration lied. And today, will the Veterans Administration admit that there is this Agent Orange toxicity, and the veterans are allowed are entitled to compensation for the diseases and all of the disability they got from it?
That's for sure. Matter of fact, it's good that you have me on, because all veterans need to know. If your husband or any relative in your family that has died from cancer and you put in for a claim before and they denied it, especially a certain kind of cancer, leukemia, something, but and they deny it, you can now put it back in and win that claim.
Now, of course, before it was primarily lymphoma and leukemia were the ones we usually associated with dioxin, but now do we know that it affected other cancers as well? In other words, it would produce cancers of other organs?
Oh, definitely. There's a list, and I don't make up this list.
Now, where can people get that list?
Well, you can write me on my website.
Would it be posted on the website?
No, but if you write me on my website, I will send it to you.
All right, fine. Well, I'll be in touch with you off the air, because I want to have this information, and I really want to get this posted to help the veterans. Now, the Agent Orange, of course, we're talking about a war that we left 32 years ago. But it was just, about 15 years ago when we were involved in Gulf War One. And when our boys came home, so many of them were ill. And, of course, here, you know, we only had a handful of boys died in the Gulf War. And yet, about what percentage do you think of the first Gulf War veterans are ill because of the Gulf War illness? Do you have any idea?
Gotta be at least 70% of all veterans there. You'll find out none of them from the first Gulf War, none of them are in the service no more.
All right. Now, that is almost all out of the service because they're just too ill to remain in the service then.
That's for sure. That was devastating. We're here. Veteran Quality of Life was born to help these guys coming back because somehow or another, we're still helping Agent Orange veterans.
Well, of course.
I'm still helping people from 40 years ago that was not helped. What we're talking about is being not informed properly of their benefits.
Well, of course, the thing is that so many people, apparently they get into the VA system, and of course, they just get the runaround, and they're told, you know, it's all psychological. Here, take these Prozac pills or whatever they are and go home and, you know, take two before dinner and call us 3 years from now if you're still having any problems. So many of the people get into the VA system, and they just don't get any care or they don't get any understanding, and they're told it's all in their head. And that's terribly discouraging for many of the young people.
And it is very hard in the VA. And that's why I work in the VA, and I actually made the difference because I helped the ones America forgot. So I know what you're talking about. Just so you know, I have 3 purple hearts. I have a proclamation from Congress that say that people should be doing what I'm doing. And it is helping these veterans because they've been spit at. They've been looked down on, and we haven't even talked about the best one yet, and that is PTSD. Because PTSD, see, the other things you're talking about is a physical ailment, and you haven't talked about the mental ailment yet, because damn near 75% of them come back with PTSD.
You're talking about the veterans from the first Gulf or the second world, or both of them?
Both of them. Once you experience war, you never forget it.
I know, and of course, what a terrible thing it is to send these young men off, not only for the physical injury, but for the damage to the very heart and the very soul. Well, you know, certainly there's been and still is a tremendous effort to, you know, for the part of certain people in the Veterans Administration to say there is no Gulf War illness, there was no illness of these veterans, it was all in their heads. And, of course, I'm sure many of them were having some traumatic stress, but I'm sure also many of them the traumatic stress was much worse because they had physical ailments and they get diarrhea and of course they get, you know, they got problems with their almost every major system in their body. You know, whether it be chronic headaches or chronic fatigue or inability to think effectively. Do you have a list of all the symptoms that go with Gulf War illness?
Definitely. Like I said before, on my website, there's 10,000 pages on veterans information. See, Veteran Quality of Life is a resources and networking information bank. And we're making sure that if you don't know, you can go to our website and start reading and wake yourself up, because there's a lot of benefits out here, but nobody know how to get to them. Veteran Quality of Life is an organization that has nothing to do with the government, because we feel that we was misinformed. So now we as veterans, and we, Veteran Quality of Life is made up of an organization that are from the veterans from the wars.
All right, now do you know Arthur Bernclough at all? Because Arthur is somebody we have.
Yes.
You do know Arthur.
Yes, I do. I do know Arthur. Right. And I've known Arthur for about 10 years. I've been in the business 20 years.
Well, because, you know, he, like you, is just trying to do something to help the veterans out there. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the Gulf War illness. Now, do we have any idea how many veterans of the first Gulf War have died? Because there are an inordinate number of them have passed away. I mean, these are young, healthy people who, you know, shouldn't begin dying off until they're, you know, 60, 70, 80 years old. Do we have any idea how many of the victims, and I say victims, meaning that full well, exactly what it is, the victims of the first Gulf War have died? Do we have any idea?
No, but one thing I can tell you, when you talk about victims, because this thing is bigger than it sounds, when you talk about victims, you need to include the wives, the kids, you need to include everything, because if you do that, then the victims, there's no number for the victims that this thing has caused.
Well, we do know that with the Gulf War illness, probably different than Agent Orange, at least according to the, as I remember, the Rockefeller Committee report, they said about 40% of the wives of veterans were ill. 40% of their wives were ill. According to the Regal report, Senator Regal's report, it was about 70% of the wives of the Gulf War veterans, first Gulf War veterans, were ill. What percent do you think? Is it 40, 70? Is it somewhere between there of the wives that are ill with the same symptoms that their husband had?
It's got to be at least 40%. And like I say before, because I help veterans with all kind of stuff, and you have to remember, like even with PTSD, when the vet has PTSD, we have proof, I've been in business a long time, we have proven the whole family has PTSD after what he takes them through. So you have to watch it when you talk about numbers, because you're looking at the veteran, but you need to be looking at the whole family is included.
Well, now, of course, when we talk about the Gulf
War... But I don't really know the numbers.
Okay, we're just trying to find out as much as we can. Now, of course, when we talk about the Gulf War illness, we can talk about, of course, the vaccinations were given. And I believe there were some experimental vaccines given. And then, of course, we had the fires, we had the depleted uranium, we had... obviously, there were some chemical weapons that were released over there when they blew up the bunkers in Kamachia and other bunkers, and they knew that these young men were exposed to the chemical weapons that came from that, and they lied. They lied and they lied. Why should we believe anything the government says when they consistently lie to us about how they poisoned our soldiers?
That is why veteran quality of life is a separate identity, because all you could do is try to make a change, a difference. And that's why we as Vets Quality Life is regular veterans standing and helping each other, because we believe we was misinformed. Now, you have to remember, a lot of veterans already died from this. They'll never have a voice. So I'm making sure that Veteran Quality of Life is a voice for them, because what we into is a disgrace, and it's getting worse.
Well, I appreciate everything you're doing. Well, I think that, would you say there are probably multiple causes for the first Gulf War illness? Would that be
multiple
a fair
statement? Multiple causes from multiple sclerosis.
Multiple sclerosis, right?
Yes, I mean all of this thing. When you're dealing with chemicals and nerve agents, you went into another different category.
Well, we do know, of course, there was a much higher incidence of multiple sclerosis among those veterans than among comparable groups of people. We do, for instance, know that Joyce Riley, who's a good friend of us, that she was never actually deployed there. She was a flight nurse. I think that she probably touched down, picked up the casualties, and brought them home from there. And she was a captain in the Army. And, of course, Joyce did develop multiple sclerosis, and fortunately she's gotten over that, but I'm afraid that an awful lot of the people haven't gotten over it. They couldn't get treatment, and they've simply progressed, and many of them have died or are horribly crippled. This is a terrible disease. Will the Veterans Administration accept any responsibility for the increased incidence of MS? If you are a Gulf War veteran, can you get any benefits for either MS or Lou Gehrig's disease?
I'm proud to say working there. I'm proud to say from working from the inside. At least I can say that the government is trying to adjust.
But yeah, they really are trying to.
They are still years behind.
Well, they are beginning to accept responsibility for the MS and the
anti-classical forces. Years behind.
Okay,
and
fine.
That's a fact, but at least they're trying to just like because maybe about 10 years ago, you couldn't get service connected for MS.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Barry Campbell. And if you're out there across America, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question or comment. But Barry was just saying that, up until a few years ago, you could not get any service-connected disability for the multiple sclerosis or anterior lateral sclerosis, so-called Lou Gehrig's disease, if you were a veteran of the first Gulf War. But statistically, it is much more common among these people. So how long has it been now that the government has been accepting responsibility for the terrible disability that follows this terrible disease?
About 1 year.
So this is really something
years,
quite
that's
new.
The most. The terrible thing about this is, and this is the truth, so you know. I am still dealing with Agent Orange Vietnam veterans. I mean, they have been so neglected that you would not believe it. I can also say that a lot of it's their fault, but I find when they came back and they wasn't informed properly, most of them went astray. We're about trying to make sure these Persian Gulf veterans, because I work in the VA, and I work with these claims and everything, and these boys are so young that you won't believe that they're suffering.
Well, now, what about the veterans of the Second Gulf War? We've rotated almost a million young people through Afghanistan and Iraq since we began this most recent of our wars. Are you seeing a lot of illness among the young men who are coming back today?
Definitely. I know a lot about this, and so many of us are coming back. If they're not dead, then they're missing limbs, and it's terrible, the numbers. I just hope it stops soon.
Well, I hope and pray that it does, too, and I know I certainly admire Congressman Murtha for being willing to change his mind, and of course he's being demonized and attacked and vilified by Christian leaders across America, because Congressman Murtha, a Marine Corps colonel, retired with a rank of a colonel, full colonel in the Marine Corps, has been vilified by our Christian leaders. Why? Because he wants to stop this foolish war that's going to go on and on and on. Of course, how do you stop it? Why, of course, you build up your Iraqi army, and they're doing everything they can to block building the Iraqi army, to block building the Afghan army. They're not giving them supplies. They're not giving them adequate food. They're not giving them adequate protection. They're not giving them adequate training. And then we wonder why we have to leave our boys there. And I think it's criminal what's going on. But I believe that there are people who have no intention for this war to end. And the only way it's going to end is that there are enough people out there who have the courage to say, this is a fraudulent activity, we were brought in with a lie, and it's time to hold those responsible, responsible.
All we're saying is, we live in America, and we know that freedom has a cost. But all we ask is, when we go, you said you would take care of us when we come home. And I have veterans sleeping in cars. And we need to do better than what we're doing.
Okay, we'll do everything we can to help you in your efforts, Barry. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Barry Campbell, and of course he works for the Veterans Administration, but independently he has an organization known as the Veterans for Quality of Life, and of course we'll be getting more information. Is there a telephone number, or do people get in touch with you through your website?
Yes, and my email is bcamp3.
ECANP3?
.AOL.com.
Now, what does the ECAMP3 stand for?
That's Barry Campbell, and it stands for my three purple hearts that I have.
BCANP3. P3.
P3, right.
All right, fine. That Purple Hearts 3. But Barry Campbell, or is it, one more thing.
Yes.
What are the, is it BCANP3?
BCANP3.
AAMP3, okay.
Right.
Okay, oh, B Camp, okay.
Okay.
I got it.
I want you to know I specialize in veterans' benefits, but I've changed the whole system already. Most people in New York will tell you I've helped 2 million of these veterans against all the odds in the world because the government is not going to do the job that needs to be done. And if you don't know about your benefits, you write us and we will help as many of us as we can. I am only helping the ones that are left.
All right,
fine. That's how serious this thing is.
All right, well, now, of course, we have these young men coming back from the Second Gulf War. We're told that those who do not have any, haven't lost arms or legs, about 30% of them are ill. Is that an exaggeration? Is that an undercut count? And I'm talking about the veterans of the current wars that's going on. What would you say?
Really an undercount.
All right, what would you say the count really should be?
It's got to be at least 50, 60, because, see, when I talk about people being hurt, you have to talk about mentally and physically.
All right, so between the post-traumatic stress and these people with this other disease. Now, do you think this is related to the depleted uranium? Do you think it's related to the vaccinations, these experimental vaccines they've given them? Or is there something else that's responsible for the physical aspect, independent of the post-traumatic stress?
Well, I have to admit, everything you just said is included.
Okay.
I mean, that uranium, but they put these uranium in the armor, and people was in this armor for hours and hours at a time. No wonder they're coming back with what they call undiagnosed illnesses.
And, of course, the Veterans Administration...
America's disgrace, because undiagnosed illnesses, they know what happened, and they need to take care of us.
Well, of course, this is one of the major concerns, that we're really, contaminating our soldiers. We're contaminating all of Iraq there, any place where there's fighting. Because any time, of course, you fire the depleted uranium, it turns into uranium oxide dust can be inhaled. And then, of course, it gets into your lungs, and it gets into your body and into your bone marrow. And you get this constant emission of uranium, and you get enough of it, you can get cancers and tumors, and you can become impotent. It's just totally devastating to the bodies. Why would we do something like that? Certainly it's an effective weapon, but why take a chance on harming our own men?
Yeah, that's the strangest thing about it. You know, I have to watch it because I work for the government.
All right, well, I don't want you to get too much against
the government at this point, but that's the weirdest thing about it, and that's why I made an organization on the outside, because there's a lot of questions that need to be answered. Somebody needs to be accountable for what happened here.
Okay.
And nobody's being accountable, and there's veterans dying every day. And the way it looks as of today, war will be here forever. Because I'm looking at what's happening in the Middle East. You know we're being dragged in.
I know. And, of course, the average American really can't believe it. Things are so tranquil here. People have forgotten what Plato said. He said, only the dead have seen the end of war. Only the dead have seen the end of the war. The average American thinks it can never happen here. We're secure somehow, but men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. There is something known as blowback. And if you think you can sit back here and live the good life and not be responsible for what your government's doing overseas, especially when they're destroying the lives of our own young fighting men, why, of course, I think you're sadly mistaken. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call if you have a question for our special guest this evening, Barry G. Campbell. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Barry G. Campbell, of course, works for the Veterans Administration, but has set up a separate organization called Veterans for Quality of Life, and, of course, you can reach him at B. Campbell. That's B-C-A-M-P, 3, that's for 3 of Purple Hearts, at AOL.com. If you have any questions, I think his information is vitally important because he'll tell you how to get around the system. He's part of the system, but there are ways that you can certainly get the benefits that you've been promised. And if you don't know, you're going to be totally frustrated. And what's happening, you know, is so many of our young men are coming back, and because of their emotional distress, why their marriages begin to break down, they can't work, they're looked upon as malingerers, and they're not at all, they're sick. And they're being, of course, totally ignored by the system. Barry, I've actually told that many of the doctors have been told not to make a diagnosis of anything other than post-traumatic stress within the veterans' hospitals. Is there any truth to that, or is it the doctors just don't know how to recognize these diseases?
Well, you got to remember these chemicals and stuff, a lot of them don't know how to recognize these diseases. They wasn't taught. It's America's disgrace. I mean, like what I do with the claims, you should see them coming in with these claims. One day, spend one day with me, and it will probably change your whole idea. And that's why I believe in we have to start helping each other now. We can't wait any longer because these guys are suffering. And I have proven by myself, you can help these guys. And a lot of it is just about caring about a person.
I'm sure it is. And, of course, I think that the people there in New York are lucky to have you there in a position of responsibility where you can certainly deal with their claims. But what about across the rest of the country? Is it in many of the areas why the veterans certainly don't find somebody who's as sympathetic or really understands what's going on? Or a lot of the people you think work with VA perhaps really don't understand the seriousness of the disability these young people have?
Veteran Quality of Life is an international organization. It's a brand new. We've been out here 5 years, and it's an international organization. I already promised my vets in the next couple of years there'll be a Veteran Quality of Life in every neighborhood and every state in America, because Veteran Quality of Life is not the system. We are the veterans that fought their wars, and now we have to put it into our own hands to make sure that we are taken care of.
Hold that thought right there. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Barry Campbell. And Barry, of course, is with the Veterans Quality of Life, and they're trying to set up chapters all across America. Are you trying to get people to join the organization as an alternative to the veterans of foreign wars or the American Legion or the Vietnam veterans and some of these other government-controlled organizations?
Well, right now, that's why we're trying to make the best of staying a separate identity, because most of these people come from the system, and the system is not working for the vets of today. I'm bringing my 24 years of experience from working inside the VA as compensation and pension coordinator to Veteran Quality of Life, and that's putting us miles away, because if these service organizations was doing their job, I wouldn't have a job.
All right. Well, let's go to Charles, who's calling us from Houston, Texas. Hi, Charles. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, sir. I'm a member of the DC.
Charles, we're having a little difficulty with your phone there. Are you on a cell phone?
Yes, sir.
All right, go ahead. Speak a little slowly, but hopefully we can get the message. Go ahead.
Sure. I'm
Charles, we're dropping out. Go ahead. Charles, can you get through to us?
Yes, I'll try. I tried this way.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I have asbestos in my lungs from being in the Navy during the Vietnam War, and I'm wondering, do you have people with asbestos in their lungs?
What sort of syndrome do you have with your lungs?
Asbestos.
asbestos? You've got asbestos when you're in the military?
Yes, in Vietnam.
In Vietnam, okay.
In Vietnam.
How did you get asbestos in Vietnam?
On a ship.
On a ship?
And it's very common on Navy ships.
Yes.
How did they get that? Is it something in the insulation, or did these people get a lot of asthma, or what?
Yes, definitely. All respiratory conditions.
I mean, I know my son was on the Carl Vincent carrier, and he almost died of pulmonary complications. I mean, they just came on all of a sudden, associated with asthma, and he was actually tubed for a number of days. And of course, they just put him out of the Navy, told him there was no disability there. Is there any way that he might possibly be able to get, you know, because he really still is having severe pulmonary problems as a result of the 8 years he was in the Navy, primarily on aircraft carriers?
This is what veteran quality of life is about. It's about action. And what you need to do, you need to call 1-800-827-1000, and that will put you into the regional office in your state. And you ask them to send you the application, the 526. You fill it out and send it back to them. That's how you get it started. Because you could talk about it, but if you don't do this, then it ain't never going to happen.
All right, fine. And so that will give each individual state 1-800-827-1000. You ask for the form 526 and
yes,
you fill that out, and then you started the ball rolling. Okay, what happens after that then?
Well, then it goes into the claims court, okay? And this is where they pay you for your illnesses. With these benefits, there's benefits for you and your family. When you are service-connected, once you get a certain percentage, they pay for your kids to go to college. You get ID cards that you buy stuff for your house, big-screen TVs, for damn near nothing. And these are all benefits that at least, if you take advantage of them, it brings less stress to your life when you could take your wife on a vacation.
Okay, fine. Well, Charles, do you have any other questions you'd like to ask?
Yes, I'm already service-connected, but with a 0% disability, I'm a member of the DAV.
What percentage of disability do you have?
He has a 0% disability. Okay. That means that he gets no money for it.
Okay.
What he needs to do is gather his current treatment. And you got it. Once you get into with the level that he's into, you have to realize that evidence is for now on doctor's treatment. And if you don't get doctor's treatment, you'll stay on zero for the rest of your life.
Well, Charles, are you seeing a doctor at all?
No, they get x-rays once a year. Every year
I'm sorry, what sort of problems are you having with your lungs? I'm sorry, what? I'm afraid that you're going to have to go outside or something, because we really are not getting through at all. Okay, Charles? I don't know whether we'll...
Right, but this is the information that the veterans across America need to start hearing.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Charles, are you there? Are you able to get to a better place for a better reception? Charles in Texas. Well, I guess we lost Charles in Texas. So again, if you're a veteran, you have some questions at all. Certainly our guest is Barry G. Campbell. He knows how the system is played. He's been with the Veterans Administration for 26 years. He's a veteran himself with 3 Purple Hearts. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And what a terrible tragedy it is when we have so many veterans now, even from the Vietnam era, who had Agent Orange toxicity, and Barry says probably 70% or 80% of them came into contact with pesticides, and everything has been done to prevent them from getting their veterans' benefits. Now, certainly I've talked to Arthur Bernclow, and he says that there are actually certain people in the VA who seem to get rewarded for not providing the benefits any benefits for the veterans. Have you ever run into that sort of thing? Barry?
Well, not at that level. I'm not at really at that level.
All
but
right. You're the one who's out there trying to help
one
them.
Thing what I can tell you is that I have experience of 20 years in the VA. And if you ever, you know, once you're in the VA that long, you know that something is wrong with the system. And you find that they've been doing a lot of stuff for years. Like missing records. I mean, you go in the service, they have your records, and you hurt yourself, and now you're back, you put in for your claim, and there's no records there.
Now those
so
records
they deny your claim. That's America's disgrace.
I certainly agree with that. And
that happens by the millions of veterans. And that's America's disgrace.
All right, well, let's go to, let's see if we got Charles. Charles, you there?
Yes, sir, back again.
All right, fine. Let's hope. So what trouble do you have with your lungs?
Oh, I'll be coughing up stuff, and sometimes my lungs squeak. A couple of times I couldn't sleep with my wife because I kept her awake. My lungs just squeak. It's pretty scary. You get used to it after a while. But
well, are you able to work? Are you able to function well?
Well, I cough up a lot. Sometimes I have to stop what I'm doing to cough.
Well, let's help Mr. Charles. Mr. Charles, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Charles, when did you get your increase? When did you get your 0%?
About 4 years ago.
So this is exactly what you need to do. See, because I'm telling you about action. Talking about it ain't going to help nothing. This is how you solve your problem. You call up that number, and you tell them to send you a 4138. And you tell them where your treatment has been at. And if the condition is worse, then you'll get your increase. Now, one thing about the Veterans Administration, they don't teach you about secondary conditions. Because when you have a condition like that, you probably get depressed a lot. Now, you could put in for depression and win depression too. That's how you're supposed to work a claim, and none of the service organizations work a claim like this.
Yes.
And that's unfair to the veteran because you know when you hear when I tell you about depression, I know you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
Okay, anything else, Charles?
Well, thank you very, very much. That's wonderful.
All right, fine. Well, you've got the telephone number to call?
800-827-1000.
And right. You're going to ask for a 526?
No,
you asked for a 4138.
He wants a 4138.
The right. 526 is an initial application. After you get in, you always ask for a 4138 whenever you want to get an increase or add more information into your claim.
All right, fine. Thanks very much. And let us know what happens to you, Charles, will you?
Yeah, let me ask, too. I've also got ringing in the ears from being on aircraft here, ringing in the ears.
Has you had it ever since you were in the military?
Yes.
All right. Then you include that as well.
They call that tendinitis. And you need to, when you, on that 4138, you put down, because if, was you around, on the Navy ships with the big guns and stuff?
The aircraft carrier.
Aircraft carrier. You put down, do you have a hearing loss with it?
Scars on my eardrums from infections, yes.
But you put down for, you said you have a hearing loss?
Yes.
Then you put down for hearing loss with ringing in my ears. And you'll win that, too, because once they find out and they do the right research to find out you was on a Navy ship with the jets, that's noise exposure.
And a lot of people do have, of course, hearing loss and other problems as a result.
Well, most people will put in for the hearing loss, and they don't put in for the ringing in the ears, but that is two separate ratings, and
right.
You get paid for both of them.
Okay, there you are, Charles.
Can I ask you one more thing?
Sure, go
ahead.
I've
got a job offer as a national service officer working for the DAV. Is that a useless job or can I help anybody?
You want to know the truth?
I guess not.
They come from the old school. They haven't been taught to help the ones that are coming out now. And I have nothing against them, but you'll find out I'm telling you the truth. That's why I invented an organization from the people themselves, because I believe everybody else has almost sold us out because they're not helping us properly. And
right.
If you don't believe what I'm talking about, you can check out one point that I tell you. and this is a point that I've been saying for 20 years. When you go into a service organization and you put in for a service connection and you can't get enough money out that service connection, they need to tell you that you could put in for a non-service connection for being a wartime veteran and at least collect $1,000 a month.
There you go.
And they don't tell you this. It's like the blue line in the police department. You have to watch it because they were not taught to help us. They were taught by the system. Veteran quality of life is not the system.
So I want to suggest to Charles you go to their website as well and get more information, okay?
Very good. Wonderful. Thank you very much.
God bless. And let's go to Chris calling
God
from
bless
New York
you,
City.
Man.
Hi, Chris. How are you doing?
Good to hear your voice again. I was last on November 22nd and have documented damage Agent Orange, and thank you for having Barry Campbell and his group Quality of Life. Barry may know me. We see each other at the VA. I want to pose a question. As one of the few survivors, and of course with even the Persian Gulf illnesses, the doctors like Joseph Ribello, who understands Agent Orange, and John Schaefer, Henry Fleck, Julie Funt, even at the VA, what medicines have you ever heard, or vitamins? We met a wonderful doctor, I'll close with this question, Carl Humiston, way back in 1989 in New York City. He gave a recommendation of alternative medicines, which turned out to be simple substances as barley grass and concentrations of certain vitamins and minerals. And it minimizes the symptoms. And I think maybe Barry has a thought, and I'd ask you, Doctor, Stan, if you understand that pharmaceuticals could actually hurt the patient. I've had liver, kidney, and tumors, and neurologic damage for some 35 years.
I think what you need to do, of course, is totally alter your diet. If you're in that sort of a situation, and certainly the information you get from the Hallelujah Diet, from our good friend Dr. Lorraine Day, certainly you're absolutely right. Adequate diet, proper diet, and certainly you need the vitamins and minerals to build up your immune system to deal with that. Do you have any thoughts on that at all, Barry?
Yeah, and one thing I can say, because I've been around for a long time, is if you're getting VA treatment, at least you do, whenever you do something in there, is get a second opinion from an outside source that has nothing to do with the system.
Amen to that. Because unfortunately, when you're in the system, why, you better go along with it. If you try to rock the boat, they're going to come after you. Anything else you want to say, Chris, before we let you go?
Well, you're a tremendous blessing. Keep it up. God bless you.
Thank you,
sir. God bless y'all.
And I hope, Chris, you'll get all those people there in New York listening to us. Let's go to Bill calling from Florida. Hi, Bill. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan.
How are you? Are you still feeling better?
A little bit. I'm moving around on a walker and many distances in a wheelchair.
Okay, good.
Wanted to ask your guest. I was in Vietnam in 1967. I was stationed at the 12th Pack Fighter Wing, worked in headquarters right down where we had jet F-4s, we had air rescue in front of us, we had the planes that, and choppers that were loaded with, not napalm, what was that, Agent Orange?
Mm-hmm.
I've had a lot of problems. Before I went to Nam in June of 66, I was in a military hospital there in the States for 6 weeks with the worst case of mono and strep throat and all that stuff they'd ever seen. And then in January of 67, I'd volunteered to go to Vietnam and was shipped over there. I wasn't fully, didn't have my strength fully back yet. And been thinking, my buddy of mine is...
Well, Bill, have you been sick ever since then, or when did you start really getting ill? Were you all right for a time after you got back?
I was all right for a while.
How long before you started getting ill?
Well, ever since I had that mono in the service real bad, I've always, even when I was younger, I'd get real exhausted and tired and, you know, headaches. You know, bringing in the ears.
Oh, fine. Did you ever apply for a VA disability?
No, I've thought about it. A friend of mine is working for that organization that other guests talked about. helping disabled vets.
Well, I'd suggest that you follow the advice of Barry Gamble, because I will tell you that so many of these veterans organizations are really controlled by the government, and they really don't want people to get veterans, you know, benefits, because it costs too much money. And if they had to pay off all the money for all the people that have been on the wars, they wouldn't be able to afford all the new wars that they want to take us into.
Hey, and I'm gonna tell you the truth, and this is the truth for my guests listening. This is the truth. All service officers. The only reason why they get the job is because they are disabled veterans. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
And you're almost having this disabled help the disabled. That's your quality of life. There's nothing disabled. You need a clear mind to go at this thing.
I've got medical records from back when I was in a car accident in '84. I got all my records from.
Well, I think the thing to you do, Bill, would be to go ahead and call that 800 number, 800-827-1000. Get your 526, and once you get into the system, then get your 4138, and just see if you can get some help.
And if they don't help you, you use my website. And if they don't help you, I will.
Okay.
Well, can you repeat the website? And I got one other quick question.
It's www.vqlan.org.
Okay. That'll be on the program archives. I don't have anything to write with. So
okay, vqlan.org.
vqlan.org.
Right, go ahead. Anything else?
Hey, one other question. I almost applied for VA disability, and I was supposed to meet with a county vet coordinator. I was supposed to come to the house because I've been so disabled here lately.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted, you know, I'd been married once before, and my wife had, and he said he had to have copies of those divorce decrees. He had to have some other stuff. I forget what it was. Why did they have to have your life history?
Yeah, because, see, that's why I made a different system. Because you find out in New York, they call me the red tape cutter, because there's so much red tape that you can't get through it. But that's why I took the red tape out of it for us, because I can do you right from your house. I help veterans across America right now in Texas, Florida, Puerto Rico, and we're all finding a new way on how to do this thing, because that old dinosaur stuff don't work anymore.
All right, I'd suggest you go ahead then and get hold of Barry, and you can get hold of him at that email, that you remember, that bcamp3@aol.com.
And you'll be surprised.
bcamp3@aol.com?
Yes.
Okay.
You'll be surprised once you learn how to navigate the system, because this is a game. And if you don't know how to play, you're going to lose. And if you wasn't taught, and the government never taught us this game, so we don't even know the right words to put down. But that's why Veteran Quality of Life is here, because I've been in the system 20 years. I know the terminology. Once you know their terminology, then you can move in the system.
All right, there you go, Bill.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for
I hope
calling.
That makes sense to everybody.
Okay.
Yeah, it does. Thank you very much. I'll be going on your way, at least your AOL one. I can remember that.
Okay, we're out of time, Barry. I want to thank you so very much for being with us. I hope we can get you on again.
Everybody.
Thanks so very much for being with us, and God bless you for all you're doing. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that was Barry G. Campbell from Veterans for Quality of Life. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and there's so many situations out there that are so tragic, but I think one of the most tragic is, of course, what we're doing to our veterans. And for those of you, of course, who have any questions at all about the things we're talking about, if you don't know anything at all about the depleted uranium and how we've been poisoning our own boys, why, of course, let me suggest the four-tape set we have on depleted uranium, or we're carrying the a DVD, Beyond Treason. Of course, that's put out by Joyce Riley, Beyond Treason. We're also carrying the new one that they have, of course, A Nation Under Siege, A Nation Under Siege. And then, of course, we're carrying the third DVD they put out, and that's in plain sight. They're all available from Radio Liberty by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. And when you understand we've been intentionally hurting and destroying the lives of our veterans, there really are evil and wicked people. If you doubt that, you need to get the Rockefeller Committee report. It came out over the name of Jay Rockefeller in 1994 from the Veterans Administration, totally suppressed, but we have copies of it. And the Rockefeller report is available, along with certainly the DVDs we're talking about, and we hope that you'll want to get them. That would be Beyond Treason, In Plain Sight, and A Nation Under Siege. And then, of course, our four tape set on depleted uranium. And we carry the book of Vaccine A. It's the story of the experimental vaccines that they've given to our troops, specifically over in the Gulf War. And then, of course, there is the four tape set entitled Vaccine A. And let me suggest, of course, then, that you go to our website and you can learn so much more about how there's a planned program to poison the American people. And people say, that is just ridiculous. I mean, nobody would do that. Well, if you doubt it, you go to the website for the scientists and the lawyers and the engineers who work for the Environmental Protection Agency in Washington, D.C. That website is NTEU280.org. That's www.NTEU, for National Treasury Employees Union, 280.org. Pull down the material, read it through, and understand they are intentionally poisoning our people and destroying the minds of our children. And if you think that's impossible, you need to get my talk on Hidden Agenda, and of course we have a syllabus goes with that, with the scientific studies, the actual abstracts of the articles from the Journal on Fluoride. And you'll find that water fluoridation is specifically designed to decrease fertility because, after all, aren't there too many people in the world? Wouldn't we be better off if there were far fewer people? Understand, ladies and gentlemen, we're working with organized evil. There are, really are evil people out there who want to markedly restrict the population of the world. And when you understand it's all about population control, you begin to understand the wars and the epidemics and why they're giving aspartame to our children. They know how toxic it is, why they're putting mercury in the vaccines they're giving to our children and our elderly and our pregnant women. They know how toxic it is. Though they're fluoridating the water of 67% of the communities in America, they won't put fluoride in the water over in Europe. They know how toxic it is. They're trying to get fluoride out of the water in India and in China, and we're adding it to the water because it's wonderful for fertility control. It decreases sperm motility, decreases the sperm count, makes women infertile. Isn't it wonderful what we can do with science today? If we are evil and we have people of the mentality of the people working at the behind the scenes in the population control movement in America today. And when we see Bill Gates and Warren Buffett are giving billions of dollars for population control and for vaccinating children throughout the third world, we have to ask ourselves, why would they be doing that? Because if you want to control the population, why would you want to save the lives of all those children in the third world countries until you know that the vaccines and the mercury in them, of course, cause infertility not only in one generation, but in generation after generation of animals, and we can only assume the same thing will happen with human beings. We have evil and wicked people in the world. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection.